This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Welcome to the first online ICNA National Symposium. We are very happy to see everyone on this blessed Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ And when my slave asks about me, indeed, certainly I am near. So at this time, when we are forced to observe social distancing, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was always near and will always be near to us. And so for that reason, for this symposium, we have selected the theme فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. So over the next day and a half, we will be joined by an array of speakers at the comfort of our homes to discuss the ongoing issues addressing the current COVID-19 pandemic, and being in a Muslim household, we may be able to benefit. Also, we will be discussing how being a part of a national Islamic movement can better prepare us for situations like this. At this time, I would like to introduce Sheikh Yasser Burgess, who is currently serving as an imam at the Valley Ranch Islamic Center. And he is often described as a fatherly figure by many of his students. He'll be talking to us about psychology of forgiveness and repentance.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira thumma ma ba'd. First of all, I would like to welcome you all to this one-of-a-kind presentation and one-of-a-kind actually experience to all of us. Subhanallah, I was looking for the time where we meet again and again and again for these beautiful weekends with the ICNA Convention in Baltimore. The family always, alhamdulillah, enjoys being there, meeting some friends and from around the world, sometimes from around the country. What a beautiful experience we used to have, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But subhanallah, alas, now we are not in a situation where we can have that beautiful gathering and reunion again. So at least if we could not get to the whole experience, we can have part of it, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope, bidnillah azza wa jal, as we move forward with this program, that we see at least the taste of it, inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe and protect you from the evil of this disease and evil of this virus. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our communities, our loved ones, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give shifa to those who are ill and have mercy on those who passed away. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give protection to our brothers and sisters who are on the front line, always, you know, standing for the comfort of our communities and protection of our community. Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us and help us go through this with safety and with security. My talk for you right now is going to be about the psychology of forgiveness and repentance. What does that exactly mean? See, as people talk about the COVID-19 and the disease, and now images and videos are emerging about the number of deaths that's happening within the Muslim community as well, and the images of the burials that is happening here and there, and now people start saying, subhanAllah, that could be me. Nexus could be me. And I receive a lot of requests, to be honest with you, from brothers and sisters from around the country and elsewhere, saying, hey, my father, my mom, my spouse, this and that, please make dua. And it starts hitting home to many, many, many people right now. And as a result, a lot of people start becoming nostalgic, and some people now realizing, okay, life is very short. No matter how hopeful we were, you know, in this dunya, suddenly we realize life is very short, so what am I going to do about what I've messed up in my life? Many, many people right now start going into auditing, self-auditing, muhasaba, doing, put themselves to the account. What have I done? Have I done good enough? Have I done bad too much, you know, that will disqualify me from being from people of Al-Jannah? A lot of people start having this self-loathing experience right now and beating themselves down and not being able to process themselves to move forward. Now, our duty right now, what to do? What are we going to do? Now, this is the idea of forgiving, and the idea of repentance becomes very, very important. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving other people, because now we realize whatever we fight for in this dunya, it's honestly not worth it. And everybody right now is heading towards the akhirah. Our mind right now is, how am I going to make sure if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects me among those who will pass away in this dunya because of this, then I will be able to be from the people of Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of Firdaus al-A'la, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now let's talk from the very beginning. Let's talk first of all about the subject of sin to begin with. Where did it start from and how did it all begin anyway? That's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal, part of his divine plan is to make this as a part of test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, he said, we shall try you and test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ. We're going to test you with diminishing of wealth and health and provision and fear. And Allah says, then give good news for those who persevere in patience. So the subject of test is nothing new. And there will be no test if there's no challenge. So we're going to have to be challenged. And one of these areas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put for us as part of this divine plan is to challenge us, what do we do if we make a mistake? Let's talk about Adam alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam and his spouse Eve into Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal gave him a simple message. وَيَا آدَمْ أُسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Go into Jannah, you and your spouse. فَأَكُلَا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. You eat from wherever you go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned different ayat says that whatever you eat, eat, no measure, except for one tree. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. Don't you ever approach that tree. فَتَكُولَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You're going to be count among those who transgress against themselves. But what happened? Adam alayhi salam, he ate from the tree. How did he do that? Obviously, the shaitan is the arch enemy of mankind and Bani Adam. He vowed at the beginning of the creation of Adam alayhi salam that he is going to go after the children of Adam. He's not going to go to Jahannam by himself. He's going to take as many as he can. And that's why when he came to Adam alayhi salam, he says, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. Ya Adam, shall I guide you to a tree, a special tree in Jannah? There's one special tree. If you eat from it, you shall have eternal life, like eternity, or that you're going to become an angel. And obviously, who's going to resist something like this? Adam alayhi salam, he just, after of course he heard from Iblis multiple times, and he was swearing to him, and eventually that's what happened. Unfortunately, that's what happened, he ate from the tree. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, he forgave him. Adam alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the shaitan, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. He was deceived, he was tempted. And most of us, we understand when we commit the sins, we get tempted. And the temptation is so strong sometimes, when specifically in our time in the digital world and the 21st century, subhanAllah, the access to the haram is becoming so easy, unfortunately. The temptation is so strong. Temptation is so strong, and it's easy for people to fall into the haram and the sin. But Adam didn't stay long after he made that mistake to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned Adam alayhi salam, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam what to do. What's the meaning of to repent to him subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah accepted from him. But there was now a challenge that he has to go through, which is being on earth and trying his best to return back to Allah azza wa jal. My dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to falling into the sin and committing the sin, sins are many. And people do things horrible, subhanAllah. I mean, no matter what you think your situation is, probably there is someone there who has done maybe things probably, a'udhu billah, graver and greater than you did. And look what are these examples in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man who killed 99 innocent souls. What do we call this person today? That's a serial killer, a psychopath. And he did all of this, and after 99 kills, his heart just woke up. And his consciousness just keep, you know, eating him from the inside out. He couldn't take this anymore. So he goes to one of those righteous people, and he asks him if there is tawbah for him. He says, Halli min tawbah, I've killed 99 people. Is there any room for repentance for me? Would Allah accept me in? Now the man, or that righteous man, at least the supposed to be, you know, righteous man, when he heard from him, he killed 99 people. In his mind, like, are you serious? You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you? No way. There's no room for mercy for you. You're done over here. And when he told him that, obviously the man now being completely desperate right now, what is he going to say? Okay, if there's no room for me. Then he just got angry and he finished this man. He made him 100. But then he went to somebody else who had more knowledge. That knowledgeable person, when he saw this man coming remorseful, he could tell in his eyes, in the tone of his voice, he could tell that this man is looking for salvation, looking for opportunity for Rahman, for mercy. He came to him and he asked him, I've done this, I've killed 100 people, is there any room for me for mercy? And the man, this man, now, the knowledgeable person told him, وَمَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنَ التَّوْبَةِ. Who's going to stop between you and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? However, he said, where do you live? You have a lot of bad company. Meaning the psychology of the sin. If you're in the environment that makes this the temptation thrive and make the sin becomes prominent, that's not the right place for you. He says, leave this place and go to such and such place. There are good people, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. On the way, this man dies and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to argue over him. Some, they say, he did not do any good. And others say that, well, his intention was to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mercy of Allah azza wa jal over this man, of course, to be sent to Jannah. What we mean by this is that no matter what you think you've done in your life, if this wasn't shirk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was willing to forgive that. And even if it's shirk, and you still, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, still you have a breath and you have still your soul and your ruh, you can still repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmah, my mercy will encompass everything, which means it's so spacious that nothing is great against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No sin is great against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the maghfirah of Allah Azza wa Jal. A lot of us today, we live in time where we're very suspicious about one another. People have bad assumptions about one another as human beings. And when you go right now, go shopping, for some of the essentials right now, and I hope that you can stay safe, you stay home, if there's no need for you to be out. But if you try to go out, you could tell in the eyes of people there are a lot of anxiety, a lot of suspicions, subhanAllah. And now people, you know, they exercise social distancing in weird ways sometimes. They stay away from each other. Even if someone sees someone about to cross in front of them, they give them the space for, many, many yards away, not even feet, before they can allow them to cross in, subhanAllah, in front of them. So we have this kind of suspicion about each other. And a lot of people, they've taken that same feeling of suspicion we have towards human beings, towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Like they were suspicious about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would Allah ever forgive me? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to the dua? All of these thoughts come in right now when people are in a desperate situation. And that's not the right thing we should have about Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They would never give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the right estimate. I mean, they don't give him the greatness that it is due to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, his rahmah, is greater than anything else. Now, a lot of people, they see their sins to be great, they don't see their mercy to be greater. And it's the time that we forgive ourselves before anybody else, that we see Allah's mercy is greater than any sin we've ever committed in our lives. We see that other people, no matter what they tell us about our sins, we need to also look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Like when a man told another man, he says in Hadith Sahih Muslim, Hadith Jundub ibn Junada, a man talked to another one about his sins. He says, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَيَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Like you, I swear by Allah, you will never be forgiven. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالْ مَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيْهِ. Who is this swearing by Allah's name that he would never forgive another person? وَشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِهَذَا وَأَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَهُ. Allah subhanahu said, be my witness, I forgive that man and I made the deed of this man be all null. Like no one can stop you from going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No word should stop you from repenting to Allah azza wa jal. No matter how negative people are, no matter how much people they mock you or even put you down to let you know that there's no hope for you, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than whatever you can think of. Now, Rahmatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasi'a. It's great. And Allah Azza wa Jal, even he put it above a statement above his arsh, his great throne. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, Rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, my mercy will supersede, will come always before my wrath. Like Allah Azza wa Jal is always opening the door for rahmah, for mercy, for forgiveness. All we need to do is just open the door for ourselves and come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how do we do that? That's what we call tawbah. A tawbah has three conditions to be fulfilled in order for that tawbah, repentance, to be accepted. No matter what you do, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy to be greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. But you need to fulfill these conditions. Number one, whatever that you do, the first thing you should stop. They say one of those life lessons, they say, if you find yourself in a hole, what is the first thing you need to do so you can get out of that hole? Someone, you know, for a very long time, they found themselves now in a hall. How do you get out of this hall? What is the first thing you should do? A lot of people, they say, should look up, you should, you know, look for a ladder, try to climb up, this and that, whatever, right? But the right answer to this, the first thing you should do, if you find yourself in a hole, the right thing to say is the first thing you would do is to stop digging. Stop digging. You're in this hole because you've been digging all these years. So the first thing you need to do is to stop digging. Whatever mistakes you've been doing, whatever errors you've been doing, or sins you've been committing, you try your best to stop that. I know a lot of people say it's addiction. I understand that. But with that addiction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you mercy after mercy after mercy. As long as you're consistent of trying to get out of it, Allah will help you, inshallah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. So the first thing is to commit, to quit that sin immediately and instantly. Number two, once you commit, now you need to, you commit to staying away from it, obviously you start having, you know, that sense of remorse. Be remorseful about what you've done in your life. It's not like you start becoming nostalgic, like, oh, I wish it was okay, I wish it's halal. You can't do this. If it's wrong, it's wrong, because Allah, by Allah's standard, this is haram, this is a sin, you should not be doing this. So you make sure that you have this feeling of remorse, that you regret what you've committed, what you've done. And the third thing, you do what we call al-azm, that you have a commitment that you would never go back again to this lifestyle. Never. Now, if you fall weak and go back again, hopefully temporary, and you recalibrate again, and you do your tawbah one more time. Every time you make a mistake, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is willing to accept from you. If the sin was committed against somebody from human beings, then you're required to reconcile with them and do your best, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is where we start working about our forgiving each other. A lot of people, in a moment like now, they just kind of like, they feel so hard to let go that they were being cheated by somebody, or someone did something to them and they were never able to retaliate, they never took their haq from this person, that person. You know what? This life is not the end of it. There's a time when everybody's going to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you, if you can just relieve yourself and clean your heart against anybody, that's the best for you to do. Especially in Sha'ban right now, before Ramadan even starts. And if you couldn't forgive the people, then at least if you're unable to do anything about it in this dunya, then that's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just make dua that Allah azza wa jal make it easy on you as you go through this life. Bismillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now for my dear brothers and sisters who are always, you know, looking back at their life and they feel so guilty for what they have committed, what they've done to themselves. What can we do? What can we do? How can I understand the concept of sin? The complex of being a sinner, because some people, they label themselves. They say, I'm ruined, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that. They label themselves with these things. And that becomes a complex. Like, no matter what they think they could do, they're unable to get out of it because their life is messy. Their sin is so messy, so that they're unable to get out of it. Here now, I'm going to give you 10 points, inshallah, and these last 5 minutes, been the last 10 points on how you can overcome this feeling of that label that you give to yourself or give to other people. Number one, when it comes to dealing with the sin, how can I free myself from this complex of just being a sinner and that my tawbah will never be accepted and so on? Number one, you have to admit your humanity and humanness. Being a human is a default. And humans were not designed to be perfect. As simple as that. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, "Kullu ibn Adam khata." Every son of Adam, every child of Adam will make mistakes. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّئِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ The best among those who make mistakes are those who come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. So it's not about making a mistake, it's about how you fix it. That's what matters. Number two, you need to learn to have self-compassion. Forgive yourself. How do I do that? Always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember Allah azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater than whatever you commit in your life. Always. So you need to learn some self-compassion. With self-compassion, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, you will be able to move forward with your life, inshallah ta'ala. Number three, after having that sense of, you know, reflection and self-compassion, you know what, I can do better than this, inshallah, instead of just keep sinking into the sin, I can do better than this. Number three, fixing the mistake. Fixing that error, whatever that is. If it was a sin committed between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I need to repent to Allah azza wa jal. If it was a sin that I've committed, you know, against somebody else, then I'm going to need to start reconcile between me and Allah Azza wa Jalla, first and foremost, and between me and this person, individual. If it was a crime, that is a different story. But still, you can still repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. But I need to make sure to fix the mistake. That's number three. Number four, seeking help. Maybe I tried my best to do that, but I'm not being successful of doing this. I tried my best, but unfortunately, I'm being unsuccessful for doing that. So in this case, what do I do? I do my best right now to seek help. What kind of help I'm looking for? If it's psychology, if it's spiritual, if it's legal, whatever that is, I need to go and seek that help wherever I can find it, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, wa ta'awanu al birri wa taqwa. You assist each other in birr, in performing the birr, the good, and taqwa and righteousness. So if I need help, I need to look for it, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And there is no shame. There is no shame in really admitting your faults and go and seek help, inshallah. Number five, you need to set yourself free from idealism. What does that mean? The whole sense of perfectionism, that I should not be doing this, I should not be this and that. I'm a human being after all. I would love to set a high standard, obviously, and I would always struggle, inshallah, and strive to get to that great standard. However, you are not an angel. So the expectation that you would never make a mistake, that's unrealistic. And you should have, again, mercy on yourself and free yourself from all these ideal thoughts that doesn't happen. Number six, you have to understand that the sin is a behavior, is not a feeling. Sin is a behavior, is not a feeling. What does that exactly mean? It's an action. I mean, the desire, something, when you desire something in your heart, there's nothing wrong with this in terms of, you know, being counting against you as a sin, not yet, until it's been executed as an action, whether it's something you say, something you hear, something you do. So you need to learn, if sin is considered an action or a behavior, I need to change my behavior. I need to change my behavior and find a way to do something better, inshallah ta'ala. Like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, Al-khayru ada. Al-khayru ada, which means doing good, is a good habit, which is number seven. We also need to understand, number seven, that the sin is a bad habit. It's a behavior and it's a bad habit. And habits can be replaced. Now, the bad news about habits, by the way, they don't go away. But the good news, they can be replaced, and they can only be replaced if you repeat something over and over again, many times enough, that will bury the old habits down there, and inshallah you'll find yourself, you know, set yourself free with these good habits, bidnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Number eight, when you look at the sin, some people look at the sin as a challenge, others look at it as an obstacle. So if you think of the sin as an obstacle, you will never move forward. Like, you know what, I'm doomed, that's it. The doors of mercy are closed in front of me. My sin is too great to be forgiven. That's it. That becomes, unfortunately, a mean for people to lose the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you look at the sin as a challenge, in this case, you will always try to your best to overcome that. And if that sin or that challenge doesn't actually kill you, it's going to make you stronger, inshallah ta'ala. In the hadith of the lady who used to steal in Medina, and then she was punished because of that. She was from a very well-known family, like she was an elitist. But she still was punished. And because of that punishment, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, قالت ثم حسن إسلامها. She became such a righteous woman after that. Like sometimes, subhanAllah, because of these mistakes that we do, it provokes a repentance in our heart, the desire to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, that we make commitment, we would never go back to that lifestyle. So you never know. Take it as a challenge, not as an obstacle. Number nine, avoid triggers. What does that mean? If you know that your sins are being provoked because of certain companionship, certain lifestyles, certain locations or spaces or places, avoid all of that. As much as you can, try to avoid that bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. And number 10, and the last one, remember to do what we call al-i'tisamu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you always find shelter and refuge with Allah azza wa jal. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. That you always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it should be feared. قَالُ وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And you find i'tisam, which means you hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And whoever finds shelter and finds protection with Allah azza wa jal, فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, shall be guided to a straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to see this path and go through with it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us to give us that sense of rahmah and mercy in our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins, to conceal our sins, Ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the rest of it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this moment that Allah Azza wa Jal keep you all safe, keep you all protected and guarded. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give those who are sick the quick shifa and recovery, shifa that would leave no trace of illness, Ya Rabbil Alameen. والحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
آمين. جزاك الله خير شيخ. So we are taking questions. We have a few minutes left, so you can feel free to type your questions in the live comments, and I will be asking the Sheikh the questions. So Sheikh, so far, Jazakallah khair for going through those 10 points about how to deal with sins. One question was about, how do I know that I've forgiven someone? I've said it to them, but are there any signs?
Well, there is no way you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your sins. And that should be actually a motivation and an incentive for you to keep trying and trying and trying and trying. You never actually stop asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That's the whole point. A lot of people, they think that, you know what, if you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven your sin, that's it, you're probably going to stop trying. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to hear your voice when you ask for His mercy or for His rahmah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in Madarij al-Salikin, he says under the chapter of al-Muhasaba, self-accountability, he was talking about what is better for a person, to continue thinking about the sin or not. Like, is it good for people to keep thinking about the sin that they've committed, or should we just stop, you know, thinking about it all? And he gave different opinions, of course, from different scholars. His personal opinion or suggestion for he goes, it depends on the condition of the person. If the person becoming so overexcited and overproud of their repentance and doing well after they've messed up in their life, and so to the extent where they become arrogant, he said that is a person that needs to start thinking of their sin, because they should not forget what they've done before, because that will humble them. But if a person, alhamdulillah, is on the right path, I mean, they're very spiritual, they're engaging with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without that sense of arrogance from them at all, in this case, he says, this person should not think about the sin. Instead, they should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and doing more of the good deed, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So people should not really worry themselves about, did Allah accept from me or not? What you need to do is know that you do your part. And what is my part? Is always repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam.
Yeah. So just to add to that question, I think this individual was asking about when you're dealing with someone else. The question was, how do I know if I have forgiven that other person? I have told them that I've forgiven them, but are there signs for me to know that I've, to let it go? Have I let it go?
I see what you're saying. Eventually, honestly, this is something in your hand. If someone did something wrong against you and they came to you and they asked you, for forgiveness, it's up to you to forgive them or not. And if you've done something wrong against somebody and you went to them to seek for forgiveness, the same thing too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. There are three steps for this sense of relief, feeling that you've done your part. Okay. Number one, you control your anger, you strain your anger. So every time you think about it, every time you see this person, if that provokes, you know, anger in you, you probably do not actually do the right thing. So you need to restrain your anger. Some people, they do that, but then they don't forgive. As Allah says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. You should forgive the people. Some people, they do control their anger, forgive the people, and then he said, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are muhsinin, which means those who always do good and well with their deeds. What is better than forgiving? Forgetting. And how do I forget that? Like acting as this never happened to me. Yeah. Do I have to do that? No, that's optional. That is optional, but it's still recommended. It's highly recommended that we forgive, forget, and we move on. Wallahu a'lam.
Voilà. Jazakallah khair. Next question. Is it okay to forgive someone who has caused us so much harm, like a tyrant?
There's a big difference between a sin and a crime. Keep that in mind. A sin, if someone commits a sin between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether doing it publicly or doing it actually privately, is still considered a sin. But a crime, if someone makes a sin that has to do with other people's rights and other people's, you know, harming other people as well. So that is now a different story. These people need to be brought to justice if possible, if we can. Now, dealing with tyrants and so on, what can we do? If it's not under our control to help with that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give us the ability, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to at least, you know, to see better times in our lives and see justice being served against these people. But we know as believers, if justice was not served in this dunya against these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it on the day of judgment. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallah khair. So that's the time we have with you today. Again, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for your time. I hope everybody at home is able to enjoy and benefit from this. Also, as I made an appeal at the beginning of the program, please take a moment to go to www.icna.org/donate. We did take a significant financial loss from having to postpone the ICNA convention. And this is not a complete replacement of it, but it is at least a way for us to be together during this pandemic and have our mashayikh share words of advice and wisdom with us. So, Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.